speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Morning. Do you always get what you expect? Today we are assembled together to worship and to praise our God and our Creator. And we're reminded that Christmas is just around the corner in the sense that we're going to have time to spend with our family, with our loved ones, and to engage in the giving and receiving of gifts. Whenever it comes to the gifts that you and I give and that you and I receive, some of those gifts bring us great joy. Maybe we receive something that we've been wanting for a long time, and our loved ones know that, and they go out and they buy that and they give it to us at Christmas, and we're able to go and to use that gift from here on out, and we receive not only the joy of receiving it, but also to be able to use it. Other gifts maybe do not bring us so much joy. The picture on the PowerPoint has an individual holding a sock, and I got tickled a minute ago. Matthew, where are you sitting? Matthew, sitting up here with his dad, says, "Dad, do you want me to get you one sock?" And I said, "Well, Matthew, you could give him the second sock then for next Christmas or his birthday." And Lynn says, "Well, the birthday's not that far off." So some presents don't necessarily bring the level of joy as other presents do. And you and I, as we grow older especially, I believe that we know really and truly the reason for the season is family, as well as for children, to be able to give to children and to see the lights come on in their lives and in their eyes as they go out and play with, I started to say the gifts, but the boxes it usually is, right, that they receive the gifts in. When we think about gifts, I think about the gifts that God gives mankind. God gives man gifts in regard to our relationship with Him in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we think about Christ, Jesus was not necessarily what man wanted, but He is indeed what we need. For instance, whenever He came into this world, people saw Him as a helpless baby, and they didn't necessarily want Him. Others saw Him as a king who refused to be king, and therefore they were not drawn to Him. The Lord of hosts, a warrior, told His soldier, if you would, Peter, to put up his sword. And we have a crucified conqueror. And this does not make sense to a lot of people in the world. And therefore, they look at the gift that God gives us in Christ, and their responses are most interesting. And today, what I want us to do is I want us to examine a few of these biblical responses to Jesus in the context of Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and following. And not only do I want us to see the way in which these people responded, but I also want us to make application to our lives to challenge us in regard to the way in which we look at Christ and the way in which we look at Him as God's gift to us. In the context of Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and following, we have Jesus' encounter with a demon-possessed man. And the Bible teaches us is that as Jesus steps out of a boat in a city that is opposite of Galilee, that He was met by a certain man. And with respect to this certain man, what do we understand? This individual was demon-possessed. How long had this man been demon-possessed? The Bible teaches us that he had been possessed for a very long time. And also, though, we understand certain things about this individual as to the way in which he appeared and his standards of living. In respect to the way in which he appeared, the man himself wore no clothing, and I believe that this because he was not of the right mind. It's not that he was mentally sick, but rather because of the fact that he was sick because of these demons who had possessed him. The Bible also teaches us, God wants us to know, is that he did not live in a house. But contrary to this, the Bible teaches us that he lived in tombs. Tombs was where you placed dead people. And that within itself is awkward and eerie, is it not? And this individual was not able to live and to enjoy his life because of the fact that he was possessed by demons. Whenever Jesus saw him, the Bible says he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What do you with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High, or Most High God?" This demon within this individual recognized that he was speaking to someone superior, that he was speaking to someone that was not just a mere man. He recognized him as the Son of the Most High God. Remember what is said in James chapter 2 and verse 19, even the demons believe and tremble. This is an instance where that we have the demons believing and they are certainly trembling. Why would I say that? Because he said, I beg you, do not torment me. Jesus was not in the tormenting business. That's not what is being taught here. But rather this demon, because of what it is that Jesus is doing to and with these demons, felt as if they were being tormented. He had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. That's why the demon felt as if he was being tormented. For, according to what we find in the context, it had seized him, had seized the man for a lengthy period of time and had kept him under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And the Bible then teaches us, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. This man had been terrified and was tormented day and night because of the fact of what was going on with this demon's possession. Then we find is that the demon within this man is healed because the demon is cast out of him. Jesus asked the demon in saying, what is your name? And the demon then answered him, legions. In regard to the word legion, what is understood? Why would he answer that this is his name? Because the Bible says many demons had entered into him, had entered into this man. And in respect to the matter, according to what we find in verse 31, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out of this man and into the abyss, into the pit is what's under consideration here. Now a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain. And they saw, no doubt, the herd of swine, and therefore, so they begged him that they would be permitted to enter into the swine. He permitted them to enter into the swine. Then the Bible identifies to us, then the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place of the mountain and into a lake and drowned. My friends, in regard to what we find here, not only do we understand that the demons believed in God and trembled, they trembled so much so that they understood that he was the Son of the Most High God and that he had the ability, the power to cast them out of this individual that they had been able to torment for a long period of time. And they also understood that Jesus had the power to permit or to deny them the ability to go from one place to another. With respect to what has happened here, we would assume that this individual that has been relieved of these demons is now able to move forward with his life and that he is filled with great joy. However, we understand is that there were spectators in the crowd who were, according to what we find in verse 34, they were feeding the swine. And whenever they saw what had happened, the Bible tells us is that they did not stick around, but rather they fled and they went into the city and they told the countrymen exactly what had happened. And how did these people feel? The Bible says is that they were afraid. As we think about these first spectators, as we see these individuals who were feeding the sheep and their immediate response was not to check things out, I believe that we find a people who did not have any curiosity about them. I have been in situations from time to time where that I have heard a noise or where that I have seen something, and I know that I'm not alone in this, is that I'm a person that I'm curious. If I hear a big bang, unless it's an explosion or something like that, I'm going to try and find out where it came from. Whenever I see something that maybe doesn't look right, I'm an individual that I want to go in to investigate it a little further. And I believe probably most of us is like that. And there are others who are not so much like that. And in this matter, I believe that we're dealing with people who at best did not have any curiosity. They did not have a desire to want to know the source of what it is that they have just witnessed in respect to the demons coming into their swine and them going down into this lake and drowning. We deal with people in the world of this caliber, do we not? There are people who want nothing at all to do with our Lord and Savior. There are people in this world who are atheists. They are very adamant in regard to their position that there is no God. In spite of the evidence that God reveals concerning Himself, there are people who are satisfied with their own schools of thought or with Darwinism and other things that evolutionists have and continue to present into this very day. And they'll buy into and they'll investigate in depth as far as you can go anyway into theory and to try and to build their case and to build their beliefs. But whenever it comes to the evidence of God, there's no curiosity. There's really and truly no desire. Their response of flight is not tempered by curiosity, but rather it's driven by their own self-will. And also sometimes, we deal with people in the world where that they allow their fears, and not only their fears, but also worldliness, to keep them away from our God. They're afraid of knowing the truth because of the way in which they've been reared. They're part of a denomination, or they're part of a group or a club, if you would, out in the world. And they understand that in order for them to embrace God according to the true standards of God and Christianity, is that it's going to change their world. It's going to turn their lives upside down. And the same is true then whenever it comes to people who are attracted to worldliness versus being attracted to our God. These individuals in the context fled, and they later come back with the city. And those are the next people that we're going to consider. And we deal with people in similar form or fashion today, as we find here in the context with these individuals. Others asked Jesus to depart from them. According to what we find in Luke chapter 8 and verse 37, then the whole multitude of the region surrounding there at Gerasene asked him to depart from them. Why would they ask Jesus to depart from them? The Bible says, for they were seized with great fear. These individuals, has it explained in regard to what has happened, and still at the same time, because of the fear that is within them, more than, I believe, what we find in the initial spectators, these individuals having a basic understanding of what's going on, they have great fear that comes over them. And now, seeing Jesus, being there in His presence, they don't invite Him to come closer. They don't invite Him to discuss things further, but rather they want Him to depart from them. What was God looking for with these individuals? Brethren, I think that He was looking for these people the same as what He's looking with us today. He wanted faith. He wanted them to have faith, the same in a bigger way even than what the demons had. The demons believe and tremble. And these individuals had absolutely no faith at all, in the sense that they asked Him to depart. Therefore, what do we find in them? They had fear. And a fear that governed, I believe, not only this situation, but fear that governed probably every aspect of their life that would have kept them from ever being true disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if indeed that's the case. In respect to the world in which we live, the presence of Jesus can be a threat to our lives, can He not? Because of the ways that we see God wants us to live, these challenges, these things can bring challenges to our lives and can be very costly. Individuals who are living their life in the world, they may be an individual who owns a bar. Believe it or not, I once knew an individual who owned a bar, and they were taught the truth about God's will and salvation in Christ. And this individual put Christ on in baptism. And they said it hit them immediately. What that meant is that they could no longer own the bar. They were in partnership with somebody else. And they said they went into the bar the very next morning. And they told their partner, I became a Christian last night and I cannot own this bar anymore with you. And the person said, you're crazy. The person told them, according to what this individual shared with me, we're making money hand over fist. You don't want anything to do with this because you became a Christian. They said, wouldn't it be easier for you to give up becoming a Christian? And the person said, no, I want you to buy me out. And he sold his part of the bar for pennies on the dollar just to get out of it. Costly. It'll cost you to become a Christian. It'll cost you to allow Christ into your life and to be a part of your life. And these individuals at this point anyway didn't want anything to do with that. Our faith is meant to draw us closer to God. But sadly, sometimes fear factors in. And we allow that fear to govern our lives and to keep us from having a relationship with God. Allowing Him to draw near unto us, as certainly He seeks to do through Christ and with the entirety of the Godhead. But then there's another individual that I want us to think about in this context, the man who is healed. The man that I said a few minutes ago as we started the lesson is that he must have felt great joy. He must have felt a sense of relief knowing that he's able to have his life back. And therefore, what do we see about this man? Now the man, and we're dealing with the man who's healed, now the man whom the demons had departed begged him. Who's the him here? He begs Jesus. What does he beg of Jesus? That he might be with Jesus. You see, Jesus listens to what it is that the people have requested of him from the city, depart from us. And Jesus, in getting ready to depart from them, now this gentleman sees him leaving and he says, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. I know that you have healed me. I know that you are responsible for making me clean. I want to be with you. But Jesus sent him away saying, and he gave him very specific instructions as to what it was that he was supposed to do. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want him around. Jesus wanted him to work through the works that he had done for him in order to spread the news as to who Christ was. As I think about this man, I believe that he really got it. Would you agree with me? He got it. He understood who Jesus was. And he wanted so much to be able to be in his presence. And he was thankful to God. He was thankful to Christ for the blessings that had been bestowed upon him. Jesus gave this man a mission to spread the word. And the gentleman did exactly as he had been commanded to do. He went out and he told people far and wide. And today, New Testament Christians are to act responsibly and also to follow in this example. We are told to go and to do likewise in regard to the salvation that we receive, to be followers of Christ each and every day, and to go out and to do what we can to share the good news, not only about what has happened to us, what God has given us in our obedience to Christ in baptism, but also to share that news with the world that God offers salvation to whosoever will. And also encourage them to go and to do likewise. If you're here this morning, I hope and pray that you're not fleeting from Christ. I hope that you are not an individual that would tell Jesus, I don't want anything to do with you, depart from me. But rather, I hope that your heart is what we find here with this man, is that you want to be with him. You want to be a disciple of Christ. And you want to be with God eternally in heaven in the end. If so, and you're not a Christian, we want to extend the invitation that you might become as we are today in Christ and forgiven and be added by the Lord into the church. What does God require of you? To confess Christ to be the Son of God and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you are a Christian and you're erring in your ways, God wants you to repent and God wants you to respond, that we would be able to pray with you and for you, and that you would be restored back in your relationship to God before it is eternally too late. If you're subject to His invitation this very hour, please come now.